Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Tuesday, the day in our weekly rhythm where we study the Bible. And our topic this week is Pioneer Prerequisites. The story we're exploring is one where there was an encounter between some Jewish Christians and some non-Jewish Christians. And this is the kind of thing we've already seen and we'll see again. There were a lot of questions to be asked and answers to be figured out as the Christian movement grew beyond Judaism. As non-Jews became Christians, people had to figure out, did they have to become Jews first? And in this case, the debate is about whether non-Jewish Christians needed to be circumcised and become members of the Jewish covenant family before they could become followers of Jesus. That's what we're going to see as there's an encounter here between some Jewish Christians and some of the people who've been becoming Christians thanks to Paul and Barnabas coming to their community to teach them about Jesus. Here's that encounter. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So, being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers, who belonged to the party of the Pharisees, rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us, and he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." Well, we can see that the encounter between Paul and Barnabas, who'd been evangelizing Gentiles, and the Jewish Christians starts out really well. They start with happy reports of what God is doing. Paul reminds them that he'd been sent out to do this work. His job is to share good news with the non-Jewish, the Gentiles. That's what he's doing, and God is doing amazing things. He starts with the good news, but it's not long before they get down to business, discussing what brought them together, to try to bring the church together and keep the church together, even though they disagreed on exactly what process new Christians should follow. Now, I can imagine there was a lot more debate than what we see recorded here. Why else would they have to actually come together in person? If they just had a very minor disagreement, they could have dealt with it through a letter or something like that, sending just a messenger. But no, they send their top leaders to go to Jerusalem, meet with the rest of the church's top leaders, and hash this out. And you can imagine there'd be some debate. There's no clear teaching from Jesus on this. It's not like he directly addressed this situation. Now, I think they rightfully found teachings of Jesus that could inform them on how to make a proper decision, but it certainly wasn't a matter where Jesus had given a clear case study and an answer for them. So I can understand why they needed to bat this around a little bit and come to a solution that would work for the whole church, because the unity of the Christian church was at stake here. There'd also be a lot of fear and anger and nationalism going on here as well. And there'd just be a sense that, you know what, all the first Christians and Jesus himself were Jews. And so why wouldn't new Christians have to become Jews like them first? If Jesus was truly the Messiah, he was sent to redeem the Jewish people, so why not join the Jewish people first? I can certainly see why this had to be debated. But there are three things that I think are laid out in this passage. Three reasons why some in the church decided to change their mind and allow non-Jewish people to join the Christian church without becoming Jews and being circumcised first. The first is that Paul points out that the Holy Spirit has acted. The Holy Spirit has been doing incredible things in the Gentile or non-Jewish believers, just like he did with the Jewish believers. He's pointing out, he even says these were close enough together, these were parallels, there are enough parallels between the two experiences of the Holy Spirit that it's clearly the same God trying to send the same message to both groups. He clearly favors the one as much as the other. So that's the first point. The Holy Spirit has taken the lead here, has shown us the way, has been doing things we can't explain otherwise in both groups. The second thing was that the Christians were clearly trying to remember Jesus's teaching and seeing how it applied to this situation. I can hear them quoting Jesus a little bit when they talk about not placing a yoke on people's backs. Jesus had once accused the Pharisees, the religious legalists, of placing heavy burdens on other people that even the Pharisees themselves couldn't bear and no person could rightfully bear. They seemed to be looking for perfection, that everybody would follow God's law just perfectly. And what Jesus made clear was that nobody had ever been able to follow God's law completely to the letter. No one, except Jesus, had actually been able to do that. We're all broken, sinful human beings, and so none of us can do that. And what was happening was the Pharisees were demanding that of others and acting as if they were perfect. And so Jesus said they were laying heavy burdens on people. And so I hear the Christians remembering that and saying, well, we don't want to do that either. We don't want to place a heavy yoke, basically the harness for a beast of burden. We don't want to place this heavy harness on people that they can't pull, that they can't carry. That's not what Jesus was teaching. That's not what Jesus would want. The third thing was that they recognized the salvation that they were so overjoyed to have experienced was not something that they had brought on themselves through their own hard work, their own religious fanaticism or anything like that. It was rather given to them by the grace of God. It was the Jewish Christians who recognized that and its implications. They said, you know what, we Jews have been saved by God's grace alone. The law wasn't given to save them. They now recognize that. The law wasn't what was going to save them from their slavery to sin. It was just God's love and God's free gift that we call grace. They could even look back at their formative story as a nation when God led them out of slavery in Egypt to the Promised Land. It wasn't because they were such wonderful, good people. They actually messed up all the time. It was because God loved them and He parted the Red Sea. He brought on all the plagues that set them free. It was God who did it, not them. So they were recognizing that their ultimate salvation that they were now experiencing through Jesus Christ was through God's grace. It wasn't because they were part of a certain nation alone. It wasn't because they'd been circumcised. It wasn't because of what that represented. It was simply because God loved them and God could love other people now too. That was the realization for them. Crazy as it is for us, of course we just kind of have this sense that of course God should love everybody. But for a very nationalistic first century Jew, that was a real challenge to realize, especially because it had long been necessary for them to separate themselves from other people who were considered unclean. And now they were told that God loved those other people as well. That was a real challenge to wrap their minds around. So I've got a question for you to think about, and I'd love for you to explore this with somebody you know as well. Somebody from the train or bus, from work, from the neighborhood, just somebody else in your life. Share our challenge with them. Watch the video. Even if you're not together, you can watch it separately. When you are together, please discuss what you've been learning. How would they be putting God to the test if they required new Christians to become Jews first? How would that test God? We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.